Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. You know, Pastor Sean did wonderful at Sister Susie's funeral. He didn't take very long, but it was very encouraging just to me. I asked him, I said, you want to preach more? I don't know. I told you, I asked him if he had a problem with procrastination. He said, I'm not sure. I'll get back with you on that. Let's turn to the Word of God, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, verse 2, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. You know, there's so much in these six verses there here. The first thing that you see is the connection between believing, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and water baptism. Paul connects all of these dots. They're all connected together. We try to do that here at this church. Many churches don't do that. We try to do that because the Scripture does that. I want to talk to you for a few moments on why is the Holy Spirit so important. You may be seated. What or who is the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit? Someone questioned me one time and said, well, what's the difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? Absolutely nothing. They are synonymous terms. Nothing energizes a believer like the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Nothing. The word energize means to give energy, to rouse into activity, to energize the spirit with brave words. Nothing energizes Christian believers like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the concealed weapon of the Godhead. It's more powerful than Jesus Christ in person, because the only limitation that Christ had in person was he could only be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit is universal. It can be everywhere at one time. It is the concealed weapon because you don't have to see him for him to be present, for him to be moving. As I'm speaking right now, perhaps in different places in this congregation, in different people's hearts, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is doing things. I don't see that, but whether I see it or not, it's still just as effective. Now, Paul did not question the validity of their belief when he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Didn't say you haven't believed. He really questioned more their lack of progress spiritually than he did their belief. The evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, regardless of what is taught in various denominations, is the initial evidence is a language. It is a new tongue. It's not necessarily, it can be, but it's not necessarily a known earthly language. God uses that many times. I was preaching in Effingham, Illinois, many years ago in a very small group of people, perhaps 50 people there, and there was a young man sat on the back seat. He'd been brought by a friend. He was a college student, an exchange student, and as I preached, he laughed out loud. He said things to his friend, which was a believer, and ridiculed and made fun and mocked and all through much of the message. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came on me, and I began to speak in another language, which I thought was just the language of the Holy Spirit. The next thing I knew, that young man that had been making fun was standing in the altar, tears flowing down his face, giving his life to Jesus Christ. God filled him with the power of the Holy Spirit, and I was able to engage him in conversation. And I said, there was an amazing transformation. You went from a mocker to a believer, almost instantaneous. What happened? He said, it's what you said. I said, what part? He said, you know, when you begin to speak in my native tongue, when you begin to speak Yiddish, he said, you came right down and told me everything in my life. I had no idea that I was speaking in a known tongue, but I was speaking in perfect Yiddish, and God used that to bring that young man to Christ. So there are lots of intricacies in the world calls glossolalia, or tongues, speaking in tongues. You can pray in the Spirit, which is not necessarily a known language, only known to you and God. He that speaketh in tongues speaketh not unto man, but unto God. As I've said many times, it is the equivalent to your cell phone to the Lord. It's a private communication between you and the Lord. And so when Paul was preaching to the Gentiles, when Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, the Jews were not condoning of the fact that he was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. They didn't believe that Christ had come to the Gentiles, only to the Jews. They understood the modern-day church, but they thought it would be only a Jewish church. And while he was preaching to them, the Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. And the 46th verse of that 10th chapter said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. The convincing of the Jews that the Gentiles had received the same Holy Spirit that they had received was the fact that they heard them speak with tongues. The Holy Ghost baptism, the Holy Spirit baptism, is perhaps one of the two or three most divisive things in the church. And the fact that it is so divisive, many denominations, even though they're not opposed to it, they don't embrace it because they want unity within their denomination, their fellowship, or their local assembly. And so they simply do away with that, or at best ask people to please practice that only in the confines of their own home and not let it, because it is divisive, and it certainly is. There are any number of people that I personally know in the city of San Antonio that are friends of mine that would make some claim to Christianity that do not attend this church simply because we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit evidenced by a new language. I've had people tell me that. It's creepy to me. It's fearful to me. I will say this. The more carnal you are, the more offensive the Holy Spirit is. The more spiritual you are, the more you will embrace the Holy Spirit. And so when you want to live a life of carnality, you won't choose a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Someone said to me something so wonderful. I almost would use your name, but I won't, Sister Diane. She said, what I like about living, well, she has a tremendous church background from being apostolic, Pentecostal, to be in other things. She said, what I like about Living Way Church is, she said, you, and I'm paraphrasing, you don't hammer on sins and things that people need to do. But she said, if you come there and you are faithful there, and I'm paraphrasing, she said, the Holy Spirit convicts you of what you need to do and not to do. I paraphrase that, but that was what she was trying to say. And so the point is this. If you don't want to be convicted of being carnal, you won't stay at Living Way Church very long, because there are any numbers of churches that you can go to that are void of the Holy Spirit by design, where you will never be convicted if you're immoral, if you like to club, you like to sleep around, you like to shoot a little dope, and you can go there and you can have the best of both worlds in your mind. But the Bible plainly says that you cannot do that. You have to choose, hot or cold. And so the Holy Spirit is a very divisive thing, and there's no question about that. But believe it or not, sometimes division can be a good thing. Division, what does that mean? It means two visions. division. You have one vision, somebody else has another vision. And so we are to be divided, not by race or gender or social standing, but the Bible does ask us, what fellowship hath light with darkness? If we are light, we are to be divided from darkness. What fellowship has good with evil? If we are good, then what fellowship have we with evil? We are to be divided from that. The apostle would write and say, come out and be you separate. We are to be separate from this world. I don't harp on things that I don't agree with. I don't have a tattoo because I don't want to be identified with the world, and that is a worldly symbol. And I know I've got pastor friends that since they've been pastoring have gone and get tattoos. I think they're out of their mind. I'm not going to talk about that a lot. The point I'm making, I am no way trying to conform to this world. I am trying to get the world to conform to my Christ. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind, the mind of Christ. And so there's no question that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very divisive. But unity is one accord with the same vision. If you don't have a vision of the kingdom of God, a vision of Christ himself and what Christ is about, then we are not going to be able to walk together. You know, this is a scripture you won't hear much, certainly won't hear it on television when they start talking about Christianity and all the things that it embraces. But Jesus said this in Luke 12:51. Suppose ye that I have come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. That was Jesus. Jesus came to separate the sheep from the goats, the tare from the weeds. It's not my job to separate goats from sheep. It's my job to pastor everybody that I possibly can. God is the great divider. He is the one that will do the separation. And so Paul asked these people in Ephesus, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is not an automatic, synonymous experience with believing and receiving Christ. Paul said, since you believed, or after you believed, have you had this experience? We are to have the same Spirit that was in Christ. More than anything else, I treasure the Holy Spirit in this church. When I discern, as a founding bishop, that maybe that's not as imperative and important as it once was, I seek God. I try to preach in a way that will cause the Holy Spirit to be welcome. We are either entertaining the Holy Spirit in what we're doing, or we are repelling the Holy Spirit in what we're doing. And so, as Pastor preached this morning, we need to take inventory. Are we just simply going through songs and sermons, but are we entertaining the Holy Spirit? The reason why he said that we need to ask and we need to seek and we need to knock, ask is a verbal thing. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to be prevalent in your life. You need to seek the Holy Spirit with your spirit, and you need to knock, which is a physical thing. Praise and entertaining God is a physical thing, with words, with actions, with body language, with clapping, with dancing. What are you doing? I'm entertaining the Holy Spirit. And so I want to have the same Spirit that was in Christ. In Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Bible said in John 3:34, talking about Christ, and he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Christ did not have the Spirit by measure. He had the immeasurable Spirit of God. That's the reason why when Jesus would talk about the Holy Spirit, he would refer to it as a fountain, as a springing up well, as a river. It means that there is no measure to the Holy Spirit. If you're simply a believer that cannot answer the Apostle Paul in the affirmative, that yes, I've received the Holy Spirit, then you have the Spirit of God by measure. But if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit without measure. I was blessed to be raised in a denomination in churches where the Holy Ghost was prevalent, where it was not only tolerated, but it was talked about every service. And there's always going to be extremes, but the truth is I will tolerate the extremes to be able to embrace the blessing. And there is a tremendous blessing by being filled with the Holy Spirit that is ecstasy. The ecstasy of the Holy Spirit cannot be dismissed. The truth is that it is joyful. When you come to God's house and you begin to praise God, and there's not only a spirit over your head and around you, but the old song used to talk about, there's a wheel turning inside of me, a wheel inside of a wheel. When that same spirit that is in the building, that is being released by other believers, is also inside of you, there is an ecstasy that cannot be aptly described. It is literally joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so that's the reason why my tolerance level is pretty high for people that act out in church. We tolerate sometimes people that are probably just wanting to put on a show because I'm afraid that we will quench the Holy Spirit. And so I can tolerate a little bit of flesh in order that I make sure that I am welcoming the Holy Spirit, that people can let that Holy Spirit inside of them demonstrate, not the power of man's words, but the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. For it is that same self-spirit that causes people to be ecstatic that convicts. It is that same Holy Spirit that causes people to be empowered. It is that same self-spirit that causes people to be healed. It is that same self-spirit that causes chains to fall. I can hear the chains falling. No, you can't. Not unless you hear the Holy Spirit moving, because it is the Holy Spirit that breaks the chains. And so I want to be an advocate for the Holy Spirit in this church. I want the Holy Ghost to have His way. I conclude that it is truth that God would say, it's not might, it's not power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts unto Zerubbabel. The Spirit of God can do more in a millisecond than you can do in a day's time trying to convict and convert. Just the Holy Spirit coming into somebody's heart. Praise God. Oh, what a magnificent thing it is. In the early days of this church, we got into a part of the Mexican mafia in San Antonio. It was a wonderful experience. We saw many of them saved and come to Christ. On a Saturday night in our theater building over on Pat Booker, they were bringing so many Hispanics that were connected with the Mexican mafia. They were there every night, lines of them. And one night, a man probably in his 30s was kneeling, or maybe 40 years old, was kneeling in the altar. The altars were filled with people. I've shared this so many times because it was a phenomenon even to me. You have to understand, I've been raised around this, and so in order for it to be a phenomenon to me, it has to be upgraded a little bit from what the Baptist or the Catholic would call phenomenons, because I've seen it all. I've seen people raised from the dead. I've seen people healed of every kind of disease. I've seen people come out of the wheelchairs. I've seen blind eyes open. So if it's going to be phenomenal to me, it has to be upgraded just a little bit. And so they came and said, this man over here wants you to pray with him. And I went over to him, and he said to me, Pastor, he said, if I killed a man in Vietnam, can God still save me? I said, certainly He can. Went to pray with somebody else. He called me back over. He said, what about if I killed more than one person in Vietnam? Can I still be saved? Yes, sir, you can. God can forgive anything. He called me back over. He said, what if the people I killed were not in Vietnam? I said, God can still heal you and save you, heal your heart, restore you. God can do anything. I went away. He called me back over. He said, hey, he said, what about if I kill somebody here in San Antonio? Can God still save me? I said, yes, He can. I went away. He called me back. He said, Pastor, what if I kill more than one person in San Antonio? He said, can I still be saved? I said, yes, you can. And he said, all right. And he said, let me pray. Finally called me back over and he said, Pastor, he said, let me explain something to you. I kill people very often. That's what I do for a living. I'm a hitman. Can God save me? I said, He can. You need to lift your hands to the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive you. He had on a shirt tail on the outside of his shirt or his pants, and he said, "Pastor, I'll make you a deal. If you'll hold my shirt down, I'll lift my hands and ask the Lord to forgive me and come into my life." And I said, "Why do you want me to hold my shirt down?" He said, "To keep my gun covered." He was not only a hit man, he was packing right there. I was starting to be concerned if somebody had a contact out on me. He gave his life to Christ right there. It was an amazing event to watch him give his life to Christ. But we went to a nightclub that one of the mafia members owned, and we were going to shut it down that night. And he was standing at the bar, and we'd take all the liquor out, and we'd put it in some 55-gallon drums and set it on fire, and the fire marshal was there, and the TV station were there. It was quite a deal. I love stuff like that. And so it was burning, and there was a guy crashed his car into the edge of the building. Oh, man, it was quite a deal. But he was standing there leaning on that bar, drinking a Coke. All the alcohol was gone. And there was a little Pentecostal woman. She was an older woman, and by her own admission, she had never been in a bar in her life till that night. And she was just one of those old-fashioned Pentecostal people, no bend in her whatsoever. She had her hair up on her head. She didn't have any jewelry on. She was tough Pentecostal. I mean tough. But here she was, the hit man and the Pentecostal. And she was just a frail little woman, and he was as tough as they come. And she said, "Sir, you gave your heart to Jesus at church tonight." He said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, you need more." Said, "You need the Holy Ghost." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." She just flipped open that big Bible she always carried, and she went to Acts 2:38 and said, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" I was standing here watching all this, expecting a reaction from him. There was no reaction because he was laying on the floor. When she read that one verse to him, it was like somebody had hit him right in the forehead with a hammer. It knocked him out. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is just that powerful. It can knock you out. It can knock you out. It just knocked him out. I looked down at him, and here was this hit man that had only been saved a few hours, and he was laying there with the most wonderful expression on his face. His hands were up as he was laying on the floor, and he was speaking in a brand new language. It was all new to him, but God had totally revisited him. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 12 that in the end time, that the devil is going to intensify his attack on the church. If the devil is going to intensify his attack on the church, I ask you, can the church in the 21st century be less than the church in the first century? I don't think so. I think the church in the 21st century has to be the most powerful church that there's ever been on planet Earth. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot be that church with dogma and doctrines and attending church and shaking hands. The only way we can become a real enemy of the devil, a real challenge to the devil, is that we be intensified. And we cannot be intensified without the power of the Holy Spirit. I would ask that every person that calls Living Way Church their home to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need you as a soldier, but we cannot send you out unarmed. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. You need to be able to go out and to meet devils head on. You need to be able to take sickness under real strength and say, "In the name of Jesus, you're healed." You simply don't have that power until you've been energized by the Holy Spirit, until you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, till you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, till you've been overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Christ promised of that same Spirit that he had. He made that promise to us. He said, "What's in me can be in you." Friend, it's not enough to be a follower of Christ. You must be a clone of Christ. The Bible said that we are to emulate God, not the Spirit, but the God-man that came to this earth. We are to emulate Christ. The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Church of the living God, we are living in a time that no generation has ever faced before, but we must be rebaptized in the Holy Spirit. The church of the living God must come out of its lethargy and become alive. And nothing makes you alive like the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ promised us that same spirit that was in him. He said, if ye then being evil, Luke 11:13, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He said again in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. He said again in John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which that they believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, that Jesus was not yet glorified. In John 20:22, he said, and when he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This experience could only happen after Jesus was glorified. He could not be glorified until he was dead and resurrected. And so when he breathed on his disciples, it was a promise that you are going to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave them instructions in Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Ladies and gentlemen, he never intended for you to be an anemic believer. He never intended for you to be a weak believer. He never intended for you to be a struggling Christian. He never intended for you to be a carnal Christian. He intended for you to be filled with power. The same power that was in Christ is available to you. He said, seek. He said, ask. He said, knock. Get serious about it. Say, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, church, get serious about it for yourself. Get serious about it for your church. Let this place not be simply another church in San Antonio. Let it be the church. Let it be the church where God manifests. Let it be the church where God demonstrates. Let it be the church where people get out of wheelchairs. Let it be the church where people that are dying come to get healed, for people that are lost come to get saved, people that are addicted come to get delivered. That's not going to happen until we, the members, demand, request, beg, beseech, God, fill us with the Holy Spirit every time we come together, from the back pew to the front pew, from the pulpit to the balcony. Let the Holy Ghost fall. Will you give God some praise? Will you say, Holy Ghost, fall fresh on me right now. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us that promise. And men assembled together in Acts 1:4. Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait on the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That was Jesus' promise to the believers. That was Jesus' promise to the church. That was Jesus' promise to the saints of San Antonio. That was Jesus' promise to Living Way. That was Jesus' promise to you. He said, unto you and your children and all that are far off. That promise has not been annulled. God wants to fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost, so no weapon formed against you can prosper. So greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. When the devil comes against you, the Holy Spirit will raise up a standard and say, I don't care, devil. I have the same spirit that was in Christ. It has quickened my mortal body. Can you give God some praise? Oh, hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. We have made a big deal in Pentecostal circles about the tongues, but that is just the sign and the evidence. That's not the most powerful evidence and fruit and working of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us when the Holy Ghost comes in, the benefits are off the charts. The benefits are unbelievable. That's the reason why there are so many suicides among Christians. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why there are so many backsliders. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why so many Christians have to have psychiatrists. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you walk in the Holy Ghost and you live in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost flows through you, it will resolve so many problems in your life. We are not to live like the world. We have been changed. We have been filled. We have been quickened. We have been inundated. We have been baptized. We are new creatures by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody shout hallelujah in this building today? Hallelujah. Number one, give me a few more moments. Number one, when the Holy Spirit comes in, somebody said, I'm just so lonely. I'm just so weak. Listen to what Jesus said. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Jesus said that, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. He said, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to come in your life, not only allow, but request, beseech, beg, seek, ask, knock, fill me with the Holy Spirit. He said, he will be the Comforter. You said, I'm so afraid. Not if you have the Comforter. It doesn't matter who's on the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter what North Korea is saying. When you have the power of the Comforter in your life, you said, it simply does not matter, because my God is greater than a presidential office. My God is greater than a judicial appointment. My God is greater than a threatening enemy halfway around the world. I am comforted by the Holy Ghost. You can't get enough comfort from the outside in. The real comfort of God has to come from the inside out. It has to be in your heart. It has to be in your soul. It has to be in your spirit. It has to be inside of you. Hallelujah. So he will be the Comforter. Number two, he will be the teacher, this verse says. Number three, howbeit when he, John 16:13, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, and that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. The Bible said, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you. I just don't know. I can't make a decision. I'm on the horns of a dilemma. I've got to have three or four people tell me what to do. I don't seek much advice, folks. I don't seek it from pastors. I don't seek it from my peers. I usually ignore it, because whatever they're saying, there's a voice better. There's a voice stronger. There's a voice truer. It is called the guide. I've got a guide in me. He is called the Holy Spirit. He guides my steps. He helps me make the right decisions. He helps me make the right choices. Praise God. I speak in tongues, but that's just the evidence that the Comforter is there, that the guide is there. Number four, he said, after you have received the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power. There is nothing like the power of God. The power of God will quench every desire that your flesh has. The power of God will stop every foreign voice. This power of God will separate you from every bad connection. There is nothing like the power of God. The devil does not have an equal weapon. The devil doesn't have an equal demon to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is greater than any demon that Lucifer can throw at you you from the pit of hell. I've got the Holy Ghost. It's in me. It's on me. It's there every day. Praise God. I feel him at church. I feel him right now. Hallelujah. He's inside of me. He makes me want to run. He makes me want to jump. He makes me want to praise. He makes me want to leap. He makes me want to shout. But praise God, the best thing is it is the power of God unto salvation. Can you give God some praise in this house? Oh, while I'm preaching right now, somebody ought to run out of their epilepsy. You are having seizures and you're under doctor's control and you have to take a medicine to keep from having that seizure. I'm going to tell you right now, there's enough power of God in you to deliver you from the spirit of epilepsy and heal your body in this building right now, right now, right now, right now. The Holy Ghost is here in the name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you get the power of God in your life and the Holy Ghost, you'll do things you're incapable of. You'll have wisdom beyond your education because the Holy Ghost is the power of God in you. Unbeknownst to me, there was a woman sitting in the church in Pensacola, Florida. When I was having a great revival, hundreds of people got saved in that revival. And I was in that church so many times. And there was a young woman that had received the Lord, got filled with the Holy Spirit. Her mother was an agnostic and an atheist. And she said, that preacher down there that they've got said he's bamboozled you. Said he's cast some spell on you. And she said, I'm going down there and take care of this. I didn't know what she'd said, didn't know who she was. The Holy Ghost was on me, and I was preaching just like I'm preaching right now. I've never done this before or since. That building wasn't as long as this. It's a pretty good-sized building. And the next thing I knew, I was running on the tops of the pews and stopped right in front of that woman and said, the devil has got you in his grasp. And when I did, she started crying. I reached out and touched her. She came up out of that pew, and God baptized her with the Holy Ghost. And as last time I heard, she's still in that church serving God. The point is, I couldn't run across the tops of those pews if you gave me $1,000 a pew. I'd hurt myself before I got to the third one. I run all the way back there, laid hands on that woman, run back, and got right back in the pulpit. Never missed a step, never missed a pew. I said, that's crazy. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is so powerful, it'll do crazy things. It'll do things you can't explain, things you can't imagine, things you would never predict, things your mama is shocked by, things that your sister wouldn't believe, things that your wife is astounded by. Why? Because you are not a normal human being now. You are empowered with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said they were astonished at the actions and the words of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he had the Spirit without measure. But guess what? God has given you that same Spirit without measure. The Bible said it will quicken your mortal body, energize, make alive. Praise God. We like to think about that when we die and the rapture. But friend, if it's not quickening you now, you probably won't be quickened then. You're not going to get the Holy Ghost after you die. Can tell you that. The Bible said the tree falleth where it lieth. It lieth where it falleth. Friend, I want to tell you right now, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to be able to deal with your boss. You need to be able to deal with your family. You need to be able to deal with your banker, not as a normal human being, but somebody that's like Jesus. They just couldn't tell Jesus no. They had to give him up their colts. They had to give him the coin. They had to give him whatever he asked because he was not simply flesh and blood. He had the Spirit of God without measure. Friend, I'm telling you, he gave us that promise that we would have the Spirit of God without measure and we would have power. Number 5, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it will be joy unspeakable. These nonchalant Christians are a far description from what the Bible talked about. The Bible talked about people that were on fire, like fire shut up in my bones. Not people you had to coax to church and pay to come. Not people you had to threaten with hell because they wanted to be there. They were filled with the joy of the Lord. They loved God. They loved God's people. They loved the Word of God. They loved the praise of God. They loved the house of God. You couldn't hold them down. They said, these people that have turned the world upside down have come hitherto. They were world changers because there's nothing like the power of joy. When you're ecstatic, when you're excited, when you're emotional, when you're joy-filled, when you're laughing, when you're happy, the whole world laughs with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter said, whom have not seen ye love, and whom you have not seen him now, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So somebody shouldn't have to pump you up. Somebody shouldn't have to sing your favorite song or preach your favorite text. The joy of the Holy Spirit shouldn't come from the preacher. It shouldn't come from the choir. It shouldn't come from anywhere except inside of you. I got joy like a river. I got joy like a river. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can't help myself. The brother in Nashville got a huge church. He said, Steve, man, I love your ministry. But he said, could you just come and preach for me and just tone it down about two notches? I said, absolutely not. I said, in fact, it's so unpredictable, I might have to turn it up a notch. I don't know. Friend, this thing is beyond my control. It's something that lives inside of me. It's the joy of the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. Who am I? I'm nobody. That God made us somebody. I didn't deserve it, but he gave it to me anyway. It's called his grace. It's called his mercy. When I think about where I could be and where I am, it's joy unspeakable. I cannot control it. I've got to praise God. I've got to sing the song. I've got to dance the dance. I've got to run through the troop. I've got to leap over the wall. Stand on your feet and give God some praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I'm not through, but I'm going to quit here in just a minute or two. But I've had as many as 23 closings, so don't get excited. The Holy Ghost is here. You know, it's a shame that in America, in most Christian denominations, there are people that are Holy Ghost filled sitting in those churches. But you know what? They had to get the Holy Ghost somewhere other than the church because the church wouldn't tolerate it. And they have to suppress it or they will be removed. I told you the story years ago when he was in the other building. I saw a man and wife come in when they came in the back door. Woo! They're just praising God. They came in and sat down, but they didn't sit down long. They were standing. They was praising God. I asked him, I said, brother, first time ever laid eyes, brother, where'd you come from? He said, we moved here, I think it was Wisconsin. And he said, we've been going down here to the Baptist church. And said, we started praising God and said, they shut it down. And said, the pastor said, hey, folks, right here. He said, you don't belong in this church. I knew the pastor well, he's a good guy. He said, you belong in Steve Fender's church. Get up and get out of here and go down there on I-35. That's where you belong. He said, we don't want that here. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? And that Baptist preacher was a guy that loved the Lord. He believed in the Lord, but he just suppressed the Holy Spirit. Friend, let's not suppress the Holy Spirit. You know, there are churches all over San Antonio, wonderful Christian people, but by and large, most of them are suppressing the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't there just be one church in San Antonio where people can get loud, where people can get radical, where people can praise God? Where the redeemed of the Lord can say so. In most churches, the redeemed of the Lord can't say a word. But at Living Way Church, the redeemed of the Lord can say so. I believe in what God did for you because I know what He did for me. And if He did for you what He did for me, you've got a right to praise the Lord. And nobody has the right to suppress your praise and your magnification of Almighty God. This is a Holy Ghost church. This is a Jesus church. This is a praise church. This is a miracle church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right now, somebody in this building needs a miracle of healing. Your doctor's doing a good job with you, but he's just about run out of options. No more drugs can he find. You need to run to this altar today and say, let the power of the Holy Ghost manifest in me because my doctor's out of option. But praise God, when you let the Holy Spirit move, it glorifies the great physician. Somebody here. Let's try everything you can to resolve your problem, and you just can't get it fixed. You ought to turn it over to the Holy Ghost. You ought to turn it over to the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost moves in your life, praise God, things will be forever different. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I don't think my friend would mind me sharing this, Brother Spears, that comes here. Their church is in a terrible location, and they do good. It's just the worst part of Dallas. Last time I was there to preach, I started to leave. Helicopters overhead and police at the door said, sir, you can't go out. Said, there's been a murder out here, and said, he's still loose in the neighborhood. I had to wait inside until they could escort me to my car. Helicopters, that's where he pastors. And I told him, I said, Brother Spears, you got to get another location. And he didn't listen to me. Went and poured a bunch of money in that location. He called me the other day. He said, pastor, he said, can you come up and look at my property? And I went up there. He'd found 8 acres on the freeway. He said, man, I want to be like Lou. I want the freeway. They just run 300 people. He said, it's $800,000. But he said, we don't have the money. But he said, I'll tell you what, I got faith. He said, they told me they'd take a contract with $25 on an $800,000. He said, I'm going to give them $25 in a contract. So he did. He started telling the people about it. They gave, that little congregation gave $200,000 just a matter of a few weeks. He called me last week. He said, I've never shared this with anybody else. He said, nobody, my wife knows this. He said, our bank turned us down. He said, they're not going to loan us the money. There's no way I can get that property. And then he said, but you know what? I got faith. I believe we can. He called me the day before yesterday. He said, pastor, you're the first one I called. He said, the bank said, yeah, we're going to give you the money. He said, pastor, we're going to get to build that new church out on the freeway. He's a Holy Ghost guy. Without the Holy Ghost, he had just caved and gave in and said, no, there's no way. But friend, when you get the Holy Ghost, it'll make you sign contracts that you don't know how you're going to complete. It'll make you confess things that you never know how they're going to manifest. It'll make you do things that you know you can't do in the flesh. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and become more than a conqueror. Get saved, get healed, get baptized, get delivered, get you a car, get you a house, get you a ministry. Why? Because the same Spirit that is in Christ will dwell in you if you'll just seek, ask, and knock. Praise God. Anybody in this building right now not saved? Like the Ephesian believers, would you come down here and believe? Just accept Christ. Step one. Any believers here today that if Paul was shaking hands with you, he'd just say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And you'd have to say like the Ephesian believers, not yet. Didn't know there was a Holy Ghost, whatever. He laid his hands on them and the Bible said they spake with tongues and prophesied and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? One more thing, and I had a whole bunch more I wanted to really get to, but I didn't get to it. But I beseech you, the vast majority of this, one of the great churches here in town, a church that I admire greatly. I talked to their assistant pastor a while ago, and their doctrine is almost identical to Living Way. He said, pastor, only 10% of our church, large church, only 10% have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're a Spirit-filled church in doctrine, but he said 90% of our church does not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think we can reverse that here. I think at least 90% of you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're working on the other 10%, I can tell you that. Every believer needs to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. It'll change your life, I promise you. Is there a believer here today? Anywhere in this vast audience? Is there anywhere here that somebody said, I love Jesus with all my heart, but I've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you walk down this aisle right now and say, Pastor, I want anything God's got for me. I don't want to resist anything the Lord's got. Becky's singing, I'm through. Is there anybody else in this building?